Most of us want to be safe and comfortable. In fact, some people make that the central purpose of their lives. But you know what I've noticed? Whenever God calls me to do something for Him, my safety, my comfort, seem to be the last thing on His mind. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome again to the program. Today we're going to take another look at faith from a different perspective. And please stay tuned, because in just a few minutes I'll be telling you about our free daily devotional, Fresh, to help you hear God speak His word, His truth, His power, His encouragement into the realities of your life day by day. Hey, it's great to be with you again on this Friday, almost the weekend. We've been chatting this week about faith, not in a theoretical sense, but in a rubber hits the road sense. Because faith is that thing that we need to get through the things that we on our own can't handle. Faith is what we need to move that great big obstacle that's blocking our way when it's way too big for us to climb over or crash through or get around. Faith is what we need to overcome that one nagging sin in our lives that keeps on coming back to rob us of the joy and the peace that Jesus came to give us. And faith is what we need to go and do the difficult things that God sometimes calls us to do. The inconvenient things, the uncomfortable things, the things we'd just rather not do. Thank you very much, Lord. So that's the sort of faith we're going to chat about today. Uncomfortable faith, because no one ever had an impact in this world by playing it safe, right? When Jesus calls us into a place to make a difference in someone's life, it's so often because that person's life is in a bit of a mess, and it's going to hurt us to have to be in that place with that person. When Jesus calls us out of our nice, safe, comfortable existence to go and do something for Him, I can guarantee you it's not always going to be convenient, and it's not always going to feel comfortable. That requires faith. People sometimes ask me, Bernie, why is it that even though I believe in Jesus, I don't know, somehow it doesn't feel real. There's no passion, there's no fire, there's no excitement. And my response is always the same. I ask them two questions. Question one, how much time do you spend quietly each day alone with Jesus with the door closed and your Bible open? And question two, what are you doing with your faith? How are you living it out? Now, question one is really important, because unless we're spending time alone with Jesus each day, growing in a dynamic relationship with Him, well, shazam, shazam, there's not going to be a relationship. But today, I want to take a moment to focus on the second question. What are you doing with your faith? And when I meet someone who has that vague, unsettled feeling about their faith, this sense that there should be something more, there should be power, there should be impact, I can almost guarantee you that in effect, they're a spiritual couch potato. And by that I mean that they're not really living out their faith. They're not getting out there and making a difference in this world, taking risks, putting it all on the line for Jesus. And just like someone who spends their whole life sitting on the sofa, channel surfing cable TV, drinking sweet soft drinks and eating chips, that person's going to end up feeling lethargic. Well, the Christian who isn't exercising their faith is going to feel precisely the same. You don't believe me? That's exactly what the Bible tells us. James chapter 2, verse 26. For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. So as we come to look at faith again today, we're going to do that from a different perspective, from the perspective of Abraham, a man who was called out of the comfort of his ancestral home in Ur, which is around about where modern-day Baghdad is today. Have a listen. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he'd been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received the power of procreation, even though he was too old and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven, as innumerable as the grains of sand by the seashore. Now, maybe you remember the story. Abraham is the father of the nation of Israel. He and his wife Sarah were in their mid-70s and childless, a source of great anguish and shame because they equated God's blessing with having lots of children and having your own land to live on. And so What's God's solution? To promise Abraham and Sarah many, many, many descendants if only they'll leave their ancestral home behind and go out on a journey through the wilderness, through all sorts of strange and weird and wonderful places, only God knows where. A familiar story, I suppose. And yet, what we often miss is the context. Let me say it again. By definition, God's blessing in that time and in that culture, in fact, you see it over and over and over again in the Old Testament, is that blessing equals one, lots and lots of children, and two, your own land. If you had both of those, then you were considered to be blessed by God. The more children you had and the more land you had, the more, quite obviously, God was in the business of blessing you. But if you didn't have them, then you're considered to be cursed of God. Obviously, you'd done something wrong. Obviously, you must have been a bad person. That was the thinking. Now, Abraham was a wealthy man. He had lots of flocks of animals, which meant he had lots of land. So when God called him out of that, onto his journey with the promise of a new land, a promised land, and lots of children, do you see what God was asking him to do? God was, in fact, asking Abraham to give up the one half of the blessing that he already had in the can, the one half of the blessing that he already had, which was the land, in order to get some new land somewhere he didn't know, and also a lot of descendants. And what made this so crazy was that he and his wife, Sarah, were in their 70s. I mean, Sarah was way past childbearing age. Abraham and Sarah had to let go of the bit of the blessing that they had in order to step out in faith, in order to receive the next blessing. My friend, that is so often how God works. So long as we think our lives are about being comfortable and safe, no risk, no need for faith, no need to rely on God for food or shelter or provision or protection, and so long as we make our comfort and our safety the priority, friend, our faith is going to be dead. God's main aim isn't to make you and me comfortable. His main aim is to grow our character by making us part of his plan to touch a lost and hurting world with his love. God's plan isn't that we have some huge superannuation or pension fund so that we can spend our retirement indulging our senses in food and travel and luxury. His plan is to use us to reach out to our neighbour with his grace and his mercy. And so the solution for the spiritual couch potato, the answer to get rid of that lethargy and bring a new vigour and anticipation to our faith, is always the same. The one who would live a vibrant, exciting faith, a life where there's power, where the power of God is manifest before their very eyes, is the one who goes to God and pleads, Lord, show me where you want me to go and what you want me to do, what sacrifices you want me to make, what risks you want me to take so that the name of Jesus would be lifted up in this world. Lord, wherever you call me, whatever it costs me, I want to go. Give me the courage, fill me with your spirit, show me where and how and when I can lose my life for you, dear Jesus, in order that I might find it. Start praying prayers like that, my friend, and I guarantee God won't take long to answer you. I guarantee that before you know it, you'll be in a place where you see God's power in your life, because frankly, without it, you'll be in trouble. Sharing the gospel with as many people as possible so they can experience a real and tangible relationship with God. So before we go, I'd like to tell you about our free daily devotional to help you and your friends draw even closer to God. It's called Fresh. Each day you'll receive a powerful scripture together with some words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement. The best news is that it's free and delivered right to your inbox each and every day, where you can choose to read, listen, or watch the daily video. Completely up to you. It's God's Word, fresh for you each day. To receive your free devotional, just hop on the website, freshdevotional.org. You'll see the Fresh e-devotional sign-up waiting for you right there. And as a bonus, I'll also send you a free copy of my ebook, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? So head to the website and sign up to receive Fresh. We pray that your heart will be touched and transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus through his word. That web address, again, in case you missed it, is freshdevotional.org. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again, same time Monday, with a different perspective.